Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. Well, the final two teams have been decided for this year's grand final, and if you are a neutral supporter like I am, I do not give one stuff about either team, so it's just going to be a drinking day for me, and hopefully a few of my bets get up. But one man who will be watching with great anticipation is the great Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right, and the jury's out as to whether I will actually be watching. And Collingwood can basically thank me for getting them into the grand final. I know a lot of people will be able to relate to this story, but I didn't actually see the preliminary final because I'm a superstitious idiot. Right, guys? What happened? Mrs. Fizz, for some unknown reason, took the antenna out of the television, unbeknownst to me. And so I'm scrambling around at the start of the game trying to find it. Couldn't find it. And eventually just had to give up. And the first quarter goes by, and to my shock and horror, that Collingwood actually played well. And she was in putting baby Fizz to sleep. And she comes out at quarter time, and I was, you know, where's the antenna lead? And she showed, she'd hidden it up behind the TV, so I couldn't see. And I plugged it into the wall, and I thought, hang on, they've done so well without me watching. If I turn on the television, it'll all go to shit and they'll lose. So I did the right thing, took the bullet for the team, and missed out on the win. So realistically, it's the 23rd man has got them there.
Well, I just thought it was the Bucks out reverse crow in round two. That's all it was.
Went pretty hard on that.
And a man who will actually be at the grand final for coming third in AFL fantasy this year is the Statesman. And how you doing?
I was hoping for a fairy tale, and the fairy tale would have been a Collingwood Melbourne grand final. But look, West Coast have played very well. I underestimated them all season. There's no surprise that they've kicked onto the grand final, and obviously a very strong chance of winning the premiership. But I will say it's just a little bit disappointing that the whole language and talk is more about where it should be and all that type of stuff. So it becomes then a political argument rather than enjoying the experience that it's grand final week. So there's a shade of disappointment in there, but I look forward to another big Saturday.
Yeah, it should be good. And this week we are talking our keeper stock take. The Statesman's going to run through my team and Steve's team just as to look as to who we're going to basically buy, sell, and hold.
Okay, it's time for the easiest part of any coach's job, the cut.
Yes, and looking forward to today. So we've got obviously three squads we're going through. Obviously mine, Jono's, and Steve. And I will say that the mix is quite different from these three squads. So we'll talk about each of the lines and discuss each squad as we go. So we're actually going to start with my team. So we'll go through our defenders. I've only got one markdown as a certainty to keep. We actually have 12 teams. We have 12 keepers. I have two that I've marked down to be discussed, potential options, and then two others that arguably could be or should be in there, and three we're going to drop. I have not included some players that are list cloggers, and every squad's got them at the end of the season. They're just filling in for injured players or whatever the case may be. So we'll just quickly go through my defending group. Andy McGrath is my keeper. Do either of you have an issue with automatically keep for Andrew McGrath?
None whatsoever.
And look, I think by what we've seen from Essendon this year is he will get some increased midfield time, but I think they look likely to keep him rotating through the defence for quite some time yet, to be honest.
Yeah, he's tough. You sort of have to keep him, but that doesn't mean that the big scores are going to be churning out just yet, does it?
No, No, no guarantee. But look, when you're talking about someone that has this quality, he should be rewarding at some stage. And I think once he gets to that, there's going to be a massive breakout year where he's a midfielder and he's got defensive status.
Yeah, he's the slow burn keeper.
Yep. Next one is Nick Newman. Now, I have him on a 50-50 scenario. As you see, I actually wrote down Gold Coast is where he'll be playing, but there's even talk about North Melbourne, but sounds like North Melbourne are recruiting a whole new list by the sound of it. So I don't know, besides Benny Brown and Todd Goldstein, who's going to be retained there, but we'll work through that as the off-season goes. But my concern with Nick Newman, and yes, we know we can score, there is a question mark whether he'll keep his defender status, because when he did play some games with Sydney, he was going through wing rotation. So he's filling in for needs for them. And also whether he is a player that's going to get a genuine chance of being in the best 22 at any given club. Now, a left footer, let's face it, he's not quick by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a good in and under, and he's a good link up player. But I don't think he's outstanding at anything. But you're bringing in possibly Gaff, you're bringing in Polak. Where does Newman fit into that? So that's why I have him. I need to know what his status is, whether he's going to keep defender status, and also whether he's going to be in the best 22.
One thing with Newman, we've got the trade week coming up before we have to make all these decisions. So if in the next couple of weeks, I think when the trade week is on, you just hold on to him. And if he does go to the Gold Coast, brilliant. You hold him. If he goes to North Melbourne, put him in the pool and look to redraft him at the end of your draft.
Now, if Mickey Barlow can't get a game at Gold Coast, does Nick Newman at 26 years of age get a game at Gold Coast?
Depends if Anthony Miles gets...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's one of those guys that probably coaches like to have on their list to make someone work harder. Like, I think it really puts the wind up a Luke McDonald type if he goes to North Melbourne, that sort of thing. Because you know he can step in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got pick three in the draft. So does he hold off the first two picks and can be picked up easily? And I think probably yes, unless he's having an outstanding preseason, which you'd retain him anyway. So it's an interesting one, and that's why I've got him in that possibly category.
Yeah, I think his how he's listed position-wise is going to determine a lot of things.
Agreed. Yep, so the next one is Jack Bowes or Bowes. Which one is it?
Bowes.
Jack Bowes. So Jack obviously is 21 years of age for next year, going into his third season. I'm expecting a mini breakout. I don't think he'll go massive, but there's a few games where he's got a bit more midfield time, and he certainly has shown that he can score big in a quarter. Not too many games that he's put all four quarters together, but slow burn, long-term keeper. So the interesting part for me is whether I go, okay, Nick Newman might be a short-term fix, but Jack Bowes actually could be the long-term fix. But again, status longer term, a little bit unsure.
Oh, I'd be pretty happy to retain him, and I think he is going to be... I know when he came out, I was very interested to see what he'd do because he was a flanker, and I think Gold Coast look like they're building their midfield pretty nicely. I'm not sure that he's going to be more than a rotational piece in there, so I think he's pretty long-term outside, probably holding that defensive status. I love him. I think he's an automatic.
Interesting. The next one who is potentially up for discussion, but it all depends on pre-season and the movement through GWS. So if, we already know Griffin's gone. If Shule goes, if we have a couple more movements, so obviously they need to free up some cap. One of my black bookers was Harry Perryman from GWS.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've been thinking about it because you're going to speak about one of my GWS players and Tom Scully later. There's going to be a bit of a shuffle in that defensive wing mix. Like we saw Lockie Whitfield play the Zach Williams role, and then when Zach Williams came in, Lockie Whitfield got shifted out. So when Scully comes back, where does that throw Perryman in? Does he still get those rotations? You got Finn Lason as well floating around in that defence as well. So,
well, he's already up for trade, so they've already talked about Finn Lason going.
Oh, okay, I didn't set, must have missed that one, but okay, that's an interesting one there as well. So,
it's going to be a bit of movement. That's and it's watching what happens there, deciding what comes through.
Yeah, that's a big 50-50 call, that one.
Yeah, the next one who I actually traded in this year because I've long had him as a future top 10 defender for the long term, but he's obviously had a spell with concussion this year, which are some concern, is KK, Kolodziejczyk. So I've got him as only an outside chance to keep at the moment, but if you actually look at that defence, the potential there, there's a lot of risky options, but the potential of your starting five actually being McGrath, Newman, Bowles, Perryman and Kolodziejczyk actually looks like, if it all fits in together, a remarkable defensive line. But you can't keep them all.
Go the other way and you're scoring 60s.
Yep, correct, correct. But there's a fair bit there. So the ones I haven't listed to really discuss are Zach Jones, who I think will retain defender status. Braden Maynard, who can play some good footy and can score well, but can have some closed down roles and therefore give you a 40 or 50. And Tomlinson, who Stevie delisted at some stage this year, and I just picked him up for a couple of tons in the back end of the year. But look, I think it's all about role for him. If he was at another club, I think he'd actually have a bit more potential to score much higher. So that's my defence.
Yeah, I think those last three are just match-up players for mine.
So we'll actually keep on the defensive line and move on to Jono's team, and we can do a quick wrap afterwards and on how many keepers we go. So obviously an easy keeper is Jake Lloyd. An easy keeper is Tom McDonald, although I would argue that he will only be forward status next year.
I agree.
And then you've got Jeremy Howe, who at times has been a bit more disappointing, and it's probably... a reflection. Richmond went from a great scoring team to a really poor fantasy scoring team, but become a more successful club. I think you're seeing that a little bit in Collingwood, especially when it comes to their defenders. And defenders used to score quite well for them, but they're playing more defensive roles and playing more as a unit. And so Jeremy's had some games this year that would have disappointed you as an owner, Jono.
Yeah, absolutely. As you hit the nail right on the head, they're playing real football instead of fantasy football, and Jeremy Howe taking 10, 11 marks in the back line and rebounding out of defence, where now he's actually manning an opponent and stopping them from kicking goals.
Absolutely. Steve?
Yeah, look, he was a guy I was a bit cagey on entering the season just because of the guys like Schoenberg and Langdon coming into that team. There's more players who can win their own ball.
Absolutely. There's two outside chances, Harbrow, but you would have to be hard up with his age and role and the young kids coming through. And Harris Andrews from Brisbane Lion. What's your thoughts on him, Jono?
It was more out of necessity to pick him up, but he's a super coach player through and through. Not so much your AFL fantasy. If this was a super coach league, hey, I'll be keeping him, but not for mine.
Now, the next player I didn't include for discussion whatsoever. It was an easy cut, but seeing he wears the red, white and blue, there's no doubt you're all over him, Jono, and that's Bailey Williams.
I will be keeping him. He's an 80 averaging defender. But we talk about players, you got forward, defender, midfielder. Bailey Williams is actually a classic utility. He can play through the midfield, he can play forward, so he can actually play a variety of roles. So if the dog is in trouble up forward, he can go forward and kick two or three goals. And he did attend the centre bounces in quite a few games this year as well. So I'm happy to keep him if he holds that defender status.
When we overview your list, we'll actually discuss who you're going to cut to ensure Bailey Williams gets on your team. So the other one was Stephen May. Have you got any interest if he changes clubs?
No.
fair enough. Steve, your defence. Now, you'd be loving the finals with Mr. Zach Williams.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting because I had a number of people offer me trade overtures for Mr. Williams, and I stuck fat with him in my rebuilding phase, and quite happy to see him do well.
Absolutely. Now, Paul Seedsman's in there as well, but I will say there is a potential that he's just a midfielder, and that'll take from being a keeper to iffy.
Oh, I don't. I'm not even sure if he's a defender. He's a keeper, to be perfectly honest. I thought he was a great keeper last season with Brody Smith's injury. There was always going to be an outside role. I know he's not defender, but like he was listed as one. But with Brody Smith coming back into the team, Miller going back, the idea of Brad Crouch possibly returning, I'm not sure there's even a spot for Paul Seedsman every single week. So I'm not super hot on him as a keeper.
Fair enough. Next one, he's under 46, so therefore he's age eligible for the old boys, is Shannon Hearn.
Yeah, really fantastic season. I thought I did really well to draft him. When I turned up to the draft and picked my six ruckman and that. Shannon had a great year. It's quite funny because he landed in my team and he was a player I was pretty hot on coming into the season. So, I'll keep him.
Now, obviously, you talked about that you probably won't keep Seedsman. Does that mean you keep Brody Smith?
Probably not. I'm not a big Brody Smith fan.
Yeah.
Just as a fantasy player, sorry. Like watching him play football, but not as a huge fantasy player.
I've been sucked into both Brody Smith and KK and Duggan, all three of those, and neither of them have really delivered a full season yet of good scoring.
No, I see. And again, it's like the Jeremy Howe thing is I'm kind of cagey on even Rory Laird next year. I mean, he'll be fine, but his average isn't going to be what it was this year with so many options coming out of defence.
Absolutely. Jamie McMillan.
No, he's just one of those guys you pick up and he's usually fine, but you don't keep him.
In his late 30s, Jared McVeigh, you're keeping him?
Mate, he was a Jake Lloyd contract away from being a keeper. You laugh. I would have kept him if Jake Lloyd hadn't signed on.
Rightio. Wow. So we'll get back to the age demographics of the old boys a little bit later on. And we'll move into the midfielders. We'll start with the Statesman's team. Obviously, some easy keepers here. Josh Kelly, of course, which is a new player for my team this year. Lockie Neal, who I scraped off Jono. If he gets to Brisbane, which I've marked him down as, I think he will get back to being a potentially elite scorer. Devon Smith, our good mate, lunch mate, obviously will only be a midfielder next year, but averaging 106 this year, I think he's shown worthwhile to keep. Marcus Bontempelli, who's someone I traded in this year in a bit of a package deal. I brought in some old boys. I thought I'd follow Steve's lead because they had a bit of sexiness about them, being Ablett and Pendlebury, and there was one other I can't think right now. But I used them to actually bring in some underperforming keepers. So I think Bontempelli, who from my memory the last four or five games might have been averaging about the 110 mark, playing that midfield role, I think he's worthwhile keeper. Jack Viney, another recruit for this year. I believe he's a worthwhile keeper. And I have two that potentially I'll keep. Dan Hanbury, St Kilda. Obviously, it's a watch for the pre-season. We don't finalise our lists until later in the pre-season. And our man, who Steve is very big on, in Braden Sire. Your
He's
thoughts on
man.
Those two, Steve? Which one would you keep out of those two?
Look, I'll be honest, I'd probably try to find a way to keep both.
I agree.
But the St Kilda situation's murky.
Yes. And it's going to be a fair bit of list. But look, Dan, yes, he's had some struggles since the 2016 grand final. but he's confident in his body, and I was pretty happy with his scoring right at the end of the year. Showed a bit more with his running. He's very convinced that his GPS numbers are right back up there. So right circumstances, no reason why at 27 years of age he can't come good again. So we'll move on to Jono's midfield. So he's got Clayton Oliver, still side bottom, Lockie Hunter, Josh Dunkley, who I believe will be a mid only this year. He has got a slight chance for his forward status, but I think unlikely. Trent Cotchin, I said, as a keeper. Nathan Jones as a keeper. Little bit shaky on both of those in a way. And Jared Lyons, which was a great just freebie swap for Lockie Neal back in the day. And it's interesting, if he's struggling to get in in Gold Coast midfield now, as those young kids come through, it's going to be very interesting where he lands. And I did put a maybe, Jono, on Tom Scully. Are you backing him to come back?
I am. It's all going to be over the pre-season, have a watch of where he actually fits into that new GWS team, if there are a fair bit of movement this year. But I am not keeping Trent Cotchin. 80 averaging midfielder-ish. I reckon I can find better in the pool.
I agree.
Trent Cotchin's the one I would keep.
Wow. You wouldn't keep Nathan Jones?
Nope. I'd take the guys in the centre square. Scully? No, Jesus, no. No.
Lyons?
Trent. Lyons terrifies me because there's so many guys coming through. He's been dropped twice. His time on ground's always pus. When he does play, yes, he's in the midfield, but, you know, if they're bringing in competition guys like Anthony Miles, like, do you have the confidence that he's always in the team? I'd probably keep him. But to me, Trent Cotchin, like, he's always in the centre square. Like, Richmond's low possession game plan won't last forever. You know, like, think about it, if they're going to bring in a guy like Tom Lynch, that's going to change the way they structure up, surely. You look at his history, it's 1 year that's down. If he's there in the first round, I'll draft him. I'll put it that way.
That's where I think I got him this year, actually, because I needed midfielders.
Wow. So we'll move on to Steve's old men. Dustin Martin, the youngest of this group. Dane Zorko. Bryce Gibbs. Ben Cunnington. So I've kept all those four. I thought that you got four clear keepers. Would that be fair, Steve?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not sure Cunnington's an automatic keeper, but looking at the rest of my list, he probably is.
So what happens if Gaff, Newman, Hall and Polak all end up at North Melbourne? Where's Cunnington?
Nothing changes for him.
Okay, fair enough. Scott Selwood in the maybe column.
Ah, see ya. Flick, go on.
Brad Hill?
If Lockie Neal goes, he becomes really interesting to me. So that's where I'll lie on that. But we'll see how the off-season shakes out. Not that he's an inside midfielder, but that would be where I sat on that.
Now, the next two you would think as young stars and worthwhile keeping until you bring back Polak, Gaff, Newman and Hall, being Jed Anderson and Paul Ahern.
Well, yeah, Goderson hasn't even been offered a contract yet, so might not even be on the list next year.
Yeah, Jed Anderson's the guy that's easy to move for me, because I would expect it. Like, Cunnington's not being pushed out of the inside mid role. Like, he's one of the best inside midfielders in the competition. The guy who would lose rotations and therefore his score is Jed Anderson. He'll lose forward status as well, mind you. Whereas Paul Ahern at least has the upside. We know he can win his own pill. He's shown a bit of promise in his first year. Jed Anderson's a fine player. I've got no issues with him, but I don't see the value in him as a fantasy prospect long term, especially if they're bringing in all these players.
Yeah, fair enough. So do you keep Paul Ahern?
I think there's a case to be made for keeping him.
Done. I've changed him to Grant.
Yeah.
So, look, I think, to be honest, right now, looking at the group with the potential one or two keepers, but I would say Jono wins the defence with Lloyd, Howe and Bailey Williams, moving McDonald into the forward line. Mine has some rough potential, but there's too many risks there to compare it to his Lloyd and Howe. And I think the Statesman midfield is certainly the strongest, and probably by a fair whack, to be fair.
Well, I wouldn't say by a mile, but I think it's leading Jono's, but I don't think it's... I'm not sure it's as huge as you'd...
Out of 10 matches, maybe 6 or 7 out of 10?
Well, I would only keep 5 of his. Oliver, Sidebottom, Hunter, who I just think is so risky. You just don't know what his role's going to be. Dunkley and Jones.
Well, what's Bont's role going to be?
Oh, it's very true.
You know, has Jack Viney put together a massive season lately? And Devin Smith, I think eventually, you know, he might actually be pushed back out to a flank, and maybe he goes back to...
And I'll never make a statement about lunch meat possibly out or injured ever again.
I'm giving you the edge, but I'm not sure it's super cut and dry, I'll put it that way.
I'm
trailing, if that makes you feel better.
I wouldn't trade my 7 mids for 7 of his, or 6 of his mids and Jake Lloyd. I'll put it that way.
No, and I mean, I'd even rather the guys who you listed as potential outs in Hanbury and Sire. Like, I'd rather those over Cochin and Jones.
Yep.
So would I.
So moving to our rucks. Now, I will say, when I first did this, there is only one keeper out of our 6 rucks listed. Now, there's an argument for another 3 of them to be in a discussion, but it really depends on what's happening. So, going through the Statesmans, Callum Sinclair, fantastic year, over 90 averaging, scoring ruckman that was picked up in the 20-something round is quite worthwhile. Naismith and the balance of that is the concern. If he comes back and how his position when he comes back, that's the interesting part. Sinclair's shown after 2 or 3 years at Sydney doing really poorly that he's there to be the main man. And if they allow him to do that, he's worthwhile keeping. Braden Pruce, on the other hand, if he doesn't go to a club where he is clearly again the number 2, so if the Tall from GWS goes to Frio and Rory Lobb, and Braden goes to GWS to be their number 1 man, he's certainly worthwhile keeping. But there's question marks on both of them, so until we see what's happening in the pre-season and what trades happen and where injuries are at, there's nothing. Now, there is no comment to be made on Jono's ruckman. He is going to the draft. Because he is Ryan Abbott. Bom, bom. Done good and would score well, but the reality, they're trying to recruit more ruckmen. They've already got 16 on that list. And they want a 17th and 18th. And I'm not quite sure he's number 1 there. And John Segler, who is the number 2 ruckman at best. If selected.
Well, then you got... Well, they played Pintonet at stages as well, so... Yeah, totally agree.
Where Steve, who might have the slight edge, a little bit how I had the slight edge in the midfield, has Scott Lysette and some other bloke.
Yeah, and they're both keepers for mine.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable keeping my man Brody Grundy and Scott Lysette.
So, just for our listeners, Brody Grundy was that Brody. Other bloke.
Brody. Is that his last name? Grundy?
Grundy. Heath Grundy, as someone mentioned on radio over the weekend. But, yeah, so Brody obviously is clearly the number one ruckman, and your rucks are a very clear winner. So well done for that.
I think he's the number one. I personally think he's the number one keeper in the game.
Yeah, I don't think you can be too far off the mark at the moment. That or Tom Mitchell. So someone that can average 130.
This is the other thing. This is the reason why I'll say that is I think, you know, we went back to the start of the year and, yes, I had all my concerns about Grundy, but it looks like that shifted. And the reason why I think Grundy is the number one keeper in the game is because they're not. I don't think they'll go back to that. I find it really hard to believe they'll go back to that.
Yep.
Whereas Hawthorn can add pieces to the midfield and Tom Mitchell's share of that midfield pie can go down.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you there. They need to change his natural game to do that. Whether they're a club that is willing to take that bonus out of his game is an interesting one. I've never seen the coach do that there, to be honest. But what Cox did on the weekend is he's forever a dangerous forward target, and that's where they're going to utilise him. There's no doubts about that. So moving on to the forwards, which I'm going to claim straight away, to be honest. but the Statesman will go through with four keepers. Tim Taranto.
Geez, he's gone third person.
Yep.
That's how confident
he is.
Just timestamp that for...
This bloke's a gun. So he's one I traded in this year, Tim Taranto. Obviously got picked up very, very late in the draft because he only averaged 60 in his first year. Second year pumps out a 90, which did include some games where he was playing just as a pure inside mid. But I think he played a fair bit of forward at the beginning and at the end of the year when they got their full midfield back. So he should retain his forward status. Blake Akers, who I didn't keep... Don't get me started, and let go and got picked up before my first pick, which I regretted all season. I traded him back in. There is an argument to say that Blake Akers might get midfield status, so that might be something to watch later on. But my feeling was that he predominantly started as a half-forward flank. Hugh McCluggage, and it's certainly late in the year, actually showed that he is going to be a magnet. So he's going to be a Lockie Whitfield. Just all depends what he ends up doing. And the majority of the year, he was starting and rotating through the half-forward flank and getting a bit of pushing up the ground, getting a bit of midfield time, both through the wing and through the middle. So I think he's probably got one more year of forward status and then move into the midfield. And then we've got Braden Golfrun, who is a long-term keeper. So he's the burner one. And he is a prime inside midfielder. He is another Tim Taranto, who's just had less opportunities, but a couple of really big tons this year when they had a few out. And he's just one you've got to retain because he is the future of that Geelong midfield. Jeremy Cameron, who I recruited to bolster up my forward line, at the moment is just an iffy and most likely out. So whether I use him as trade bait or not is a question. And another one I'd love to keep, but we'll talk about when we break down. I just can't keep another forward line is Cam Rayner. He's someone that I might be able to pick up later on in the draft.
I think Jeremy Cameron, what trade value as the sole key forward with Patnett with that ACL. I don't think he's got any trade value.
Well, I might look at teams that don't have any forwards, Jono.
Okay, like mine.
Do they exist?
Yeah.
Do teams not have forwards?
No, I just mean Jono's list is a little bit thin on the ground is probably what I'm suggesting, Steve. So moving...
Hey, Chris Mayne. Collingwood legend Chris Mayne.
Yeah.
Soon to be premiership player. Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
God.
Yeah. Isn't that a turnaround? Bucks was going to be canned and Chris Mayne was the worst investment they ever made. They might both have premiership medals by the end of the week. So moving on to...
I never said Mayne out.
No.
I think the larger football community did, though.
Yes. So moving on to Jono's midfield, he has got one jet, and I do believe, even though there's a lot of talk saying he's going to be a mid-only, but I do believe he'll remain forward, and that's Isaac Heaney. And I think big things are going forward for him. Now, then we've got a group of four that I put in the maybe category. Mitch Wallace, re-signed at the Bulldogs. We just don't know their roles, to be fair, and whether he's in the best 22. Jono.
I agree. If he is, he's that pressuring half forward. But what does Chad Wingard do if he comes to the club? Is he in the mid or is he a small pressuring forward?
No, he'll be rotating through the half-back flank like all of them along the way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Wallace.
Yeah, interesting one with that club. Tom Hawkins, who, as we know, can just have his big day out, but he's unreliable as a fantasy scorer, and as he gets on, his strengths will drop.
Honestly, I've never really liked Tom Hawkins in any fantasy format. I think I've just asked him this year the way he's gone about that last, seven or eight rounds and kicked about 20 or 30 goals, but he's certainly one that I can drop because I can live without not having him.
Does help the last two rounds playing Fremantle and Gold Coast.
It does.
Jack Riewoldt, speaking of Gold Coast, smashed out a 192 this year, which would have been magnificent. But at the end of the day, another ageing key position player. Remarkable game on the weekend. It was really the only Richmond player that stood up.
Yeah, that and the Tom Lynch factor. If he does go there, what happens with Jackie Boy?
I'd be pretty interested in him if Tom Lynch went there. I'm not sure he's a keeper, but he's someone I'd probably be looking to snap up in the following rounds. I'd expect he'd be a lead-up sort of player.
Sort of like his cousin Nick push up the ground takes. Not to that capacity,
Not to that same degree, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then the two Collingwood players, one I didn't include and the other one as Justin maybe, and Chris Mayne and Will Hoskin-Elliott.
Mayne, too flaky, I think. Certainly match up and very flaky. He'll just be playing that lockdown forward / defender for his career and won't score anything. And Hoskin-Elliott, due to the rise of players like Sire, DeGoey, that he won't get that midfield time anymore and will just be a good mid-size forward.
Well, Mayne might not even be a forward next year. I mean, he basically just plonked himself on the wing and just tackled everything inside.
Well, there's that as well. But would you want a 75 averaging midfielder?
No, I don't. not high on the priority list.
No.
Although Dusty, I mean, he was in that ballpark this year, so I don't know.
So moving on to Steve's forward line. So obviously age eligible is Dave Mundy from Fremantle. And then, of course, the other Fremantle forward in Jesse Hogan.
We all piss our pants laughing at that. Mate, if Lockie Neal goes, Dave Mundy, 105 average. Bang.
Bang.
He was good this year.
He was. He was extremely good. And second half of the year was quite remarkable. And I had him there as they're your two automatic keepers. There are quite a few highly talented players to discuss below them, but they're the two obvious ones. But age, there's some stage you need to go to the draft.
Well, Hogan to Fremantle.
I've got to back in the young kids, sorry.
Hogan I've rebuilt this year. Hang on. This is one thing I want to talk about, and this is the theory of the keeper list, because think about it like this. I was basically rebuilding this year, right? And I still finished second because there are so many teams who think, I don't have a good enough list, I'm rebuilding. And they stack their team with second and third year players and they're not competitive on a week-to-week basis. Mate, fantasy footy, you sneak into the finals, strange things happen. Okay, so ha ha ha, Jared McVeigh, ha ha ha, David Mundy, they're old, but they're good scorers. Okay, so if you're throwing back old players, like not all second and third year players work out. So you need to be able to identify the ones who are going to work out, have that long-term value. I just think you can still win. Like, it's not... Like, what happens in five years from now is, oh, I'll have a sick keeper team in 3 years. Well, an ACL, a change of clubs, and a new coach, and your team's fucked.
Yeah, and or a bit of impatience.
So, we know David Mundy's going to score well. We know, especially if Lachie Neale goes, he can win his own pill in the midfield. He's fine.
Jesse,
and he generally doesn't miss.
Jesse Hogan, obviously great success at the beginning of this year. If he changes club, is he more a keeper or less of a keeper?
Well, he'd be less of a keeper, but I don't think he would. I mean, if he did, I'd probably put him on the block, to be honest.
Fair enough. So you got three young kids who are going to be very talented and potential high scorers they go. All three might turn into midfielders, but we're a little bit unsure. I think they all retain forward status for this year, and that starts Jack Higgins.
You see, yeah, no problems.
You keeping?
Yeah, have to keep Jack Higgins.
Adam Sarah?
Have to keep. He's probably going to be a forward defender.
And Oliver Florent.
Yeah, Ollie Florent's in the mix. I know you're pretty hot on him, Statesman. I'm less hot on him. I guess if, Hannabury does leave, and if Nick Newman leaves, I'll probably be a little bit hotter on him. But he's fine. I don't think he's a must keep.
Fair enough. And you've got Rowan Marshall at St Kilda, who had some massive games.
I'd love to keep him. I really would love to keep him. But I don't think you can. I don't see the point. Like, he's always going to be that ruck forward, which in an ordinary team probably isn't super attractive. If they were better, then he would be more attractive. I don't know. If Paddy McCartan leaves or something like that, maybe I'll be more interested. I like him, though. I like him as a player.
And long-term keeper previously, Jared Roughhead.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was one I just got completely wrong. It just looks like it's over.
But did he finish the world really well? Finish the year really well?
Oh, not for mine. He just can't jump. Like the way I looked at it is key defend. I'd want to play key defenders against Hawthorn, which is to me is a symptom of a guy like Jared Roughhead. It's like they're not even bringing the ball to ground. So I just, if they got like an Andrew Gaff, maybe. But I don't. I don't see the point. Like, it just looks like those 90 days are gone. And I'm not keeping an 80 averaging forward who doesn't have upside.
Send him back to defence where he go all Australian again.
Yeah, I think there's a guy you've actually left off my list who I think is really interesting. It's actually Majak Dore. And we can scoff all we want, but he actually put together a really nice last couple of months moving into defence. See a lot of the same things that James Sicily put together. Not that he's the same player, of course, but he scored really handily. And if he's going to be in defence with an improved North Melbourne midfield that might be able to put on more pressure, he can take some intercept marks and get the ball. I'm a little bit more interested in Majak Dore than I probably should be.
Than anyone should be.
Mate, we played him and he was fine.
Mm. Oh, he was. Oh, no doubts about that.
So quickly looking through the list, so Statesman team ended up with 13. So McGrath, Bowes, Kelly, Neil, Smith, Bontempelli, Viney, Hanbury, Sire, neither of the Ruckman and the four young forwards. So depending on what happens with the Ruck, obviously if one of them come up or look like they're going to be the number one Ruck somewhere, they'll be retained, which therefore means you have 14 keepers, not including Jeremy Cameron. So therefore, you've actually got trade bait. So there's an argument to say that that team there, you can utilise a little bit of trading for better position in the draft. Jono, not so bright for you, only 10 keepers selected. So maybe you should be talking to Steve and I for a bit of trading to build up your keepers and give a couple of draft picks out to square it up. So that was Lloyd McDonald, who'll be in your forward line, of course. How you've decided to retain Bailey Williams on his four-game quota of scoring 80. So let's see how that goes for you, mate. Good sample, that one, four games. Oliver, Sidebottom, Hunter, Dunkley and Jones. You obviously do have Scully, Lyons and Cochin that are all worthwhile being discussed. And, of course, then Isaac Heaney. And, Steve, you ended up with 13, but that doesn't include the discussion point of Magic Door. And I took Seedsman out. So the retention was Williams, Hearn, Martin, Zorko, Gibbs, Cunnington and Ahern. Noting that Brad Hill might be a discussion depending on what happens with the list management. Grundy and Lysart. Mundy, Hogan, Higgins and Sarah. Which gives you a total of 13 and potentially 14 with Magic Door. So a bit of trade bait sitting on your list too to help you improve your draft.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because we just went through Jono's midfield and there's so many guys who underperform this year and you're just going to be able to scoop those guys up, bolster the back end of your mid. I don't think anyone's struggling for forwards. And really, it's sort of the way we approach redrafts, isn't it, Jono, where you really want to nab those defenders.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, there could be a... As we do know that the powers to be like to throw some curvy ones next year, so who knows what the hell's going to happen. I mean, there's all big talks that Danger's already a forward for next year, so who the hell knows how that plays out. But we do have some questions from the great listeners there in the social media world, and the first one is from King Kong Donkey on Twitter. He's in his keeper league. He can keep 8 in a 2-ruck on-field 30-man squad. So already he's kept his rucks in Wits. He's got Wits, Stanley, Hickey, Magic as his rucks, and he's locked in Lloyd, Paddy Cripps, DeGoey, Toby Green, and Sidey. So he needs to keep 3 out of Jeremy Howe, Tom Jonas, Dyson Heppel, Took Miller, Blake Akers, and Gunston.
Yeah, I had a quick look at that, and obviously if I'm keeping 8, I prefer to probably go 2 defenders, 2 forwards, 3 midfielders and 1 ruck. And I will say I know there are a 2 ruckman league, but I wouldn't be putting my faith in Stanley, Hickey or Dorr. I don't think Dorr will actually have ruck status for next year. So that's my concern there. So I'll only go Wits. So therefore, my keepers would be Lloyd and Howell, Cripps, Heppel and Sidebottom. I'm not convinced Miller or many of the Gold Coast older mids will retain their rotations. Obviously, Wits. And then I would go Green and Blake Akers. But I understand the arguments for DeGoey and understand the arguments for Gunston, but I look at DeGoey and thought he played a magnificent game on the weekend, and I think they've found that position for him, which is actually deep in the forward line. He kicked 4 goals on the weekend. He only scored 69.
Because goals don't matter.
So I just purely believe that you're better off getting the accumulator, which will be a Blake Akers, will accumulate a lot more of the footy. But I could understand why people look at a couple of those different options, but they were my 8.
Yeah, fair enough as well. And Mitch Bagley 3 on Twitter also asked, how much risk should you take into next season? He has Nick Newman and Aaron Hall, who he thinks are both risky. He currently has Petrevsky, Seaton and Braden Maynard on his cut list. He's looking to redraft Petrevsky, Seaton, but if Newman stays at the Swans, he's going to get rid of him. And that's in a 12-team, 26 players, keep 13.
Pachecki Seaton, he'll be your number one out of that lot, wouldn't he, Steve?
Do love myself some Pogotsky Seaton.
Training with
looks set to do a preseason this year.
Are you preseason?
Well, no, he's already started his preseason. Preseason's going, so yeah, he's interesting.
I think the one there with the highest scoring potential is Hall. The question mark if he goes to a new club that are recruiting him for a specific role, and he does get defender status, if he can keep his body together, he's the outstanding win. So there's a lot of risk reward. SPS, I think you can pick up a little bit later on, but he is high quality in a keeper league. Sometimes when you feel like someone's going to be a star for a long time, you've just got to take the punt and stay with them and cop a little bit.
How do you think... Look, it's been reported that Aaron Hall might not be the most team-oriented player. How do you think he will mesh with a guy like Brad Scott, who seems like a well-organized team every time I watch a Brad Scott-coached North Melbourne outfit?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't know him personally, and I don't know whether those rumours are true, remembering he's been part of the Gold Coast. So if he wants to move out and go to another club, then he should be expecting, or I assume he's expecting, that that's going to improve him as a teammate, a player, and an overall a team player. So I would
assume he'll only be a halfback there.
Yes, which I think has some great potential. Defender status is someone that can turn up. Very nice. Mm. It's a risk.
Fair enough. Now, Steve, before we wrap up, you did go and see The Predator. Just a quick summary of
how
awesome...
Didn't someone ask us who the most underrated players were as well, Jono?
I did not see that question.
Came through. Who our most underrated players were?
I did not see that one, I'm sorry. So who are our most underrated players?
Elliot, yo! Yo, man. And I will say, I think David Mundy's been very underrated over his career.
Yes, definitely. Gus Brayshaw for next year.
Next year, he'll be underrated.
Yes.
Well, he will. Squeezed out of that Melbourne midfield.
As a pure mid, though, people might underrate how he's going to score.
Maybe come about in late, but in fantasy footy... it may have come for the last 5 or 6 weeks, but overall, Seb Ross.
Fair play.
Paying $4.40 to poll the most votes for St Kilda. But it would have already happened by the time this is released.
That's true.
Go, Seb Ross.
And well done, Paddy Dangerfield, for winning the Brownlow. Congratulations.
Danger?
Not happened? Okay. Yeah, Tom Mitchell's a red hot favourite. Gotta be.
Sidey's sneaky, I think.
I think he had a real down second half of the year. When Treloar got injured, he got all the attention and just didn't shine. I don't reckon there'd be a lot of votes in the back end of the year.
Be interesting, but certainly we'll poll. Well, are you going to give us a quick review on the Predator or just no?
People died. That was good. Look, John, I wasn't blown away. It was fine. I'd recommend paying $15 to see it. So that's fine. I got no beef with it. It was very exciting. Looks like there'll be more of them. So get around that. But you know what I liked about, and we were talking about this the other day, is I liked in the other ones where they kind of hide the Predator for the first, say, 30 minutes of the movie. They do all the little growls and, you see him just run through the bush. This one, it was just like, here's Predator, fucking go on. Just get on with it. He was like a character in the movie. I'm like, I don't want that. I want him to be a set piece.
Interesting.
So, I don't
interesting.
Know.
Well, next week we are asking for forgiveness for those players who we drafted and kind of went out of the box. We thought they were going to underperform, but they outperformed their expectations. So.
No, wait. Is it underperformers or outperformers?
It says forgiveness, please.
Yeah, so they were shit.
Underperformers, yes. I thought it was the other way around, how he worked it out.
This is our host, people. He doesn't read English.
He just doesn't read, English? Doesn't listen to us, mate. That's what happens.
No, I don't listen to anyone. What are you talking about? those players who actually underperformed for us, it'll be an interesting one next week. We'll go through a few of our players from our dedicated teams, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, and good luck to both teams playing in the grand final this week. I've got 4 players for Norm Smith Medal. It'll probably be McGovern, Redden. I'm going to say DeGoey and Sidebottom for me.
I got $50 on the Eagles as soon as it opened.
$225, I'm all about that.
I bet the Eagles in the third quarter.
And just on departure, a little slap to Archie for hopping on Sheet Island again when he scored 70 points less than Redden. 70.
70, Jesus.
Jeez. Liam Ryan, first goal as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.